All right, for today, we want to follow the theme for this week. And the theme this morning is the Great Commission. And you looked at that in your morning Bible studies from Matthew 28, right? That's typically where we run when we think about the Great Commission. And we should, because that's where Jesus is commissioning his disciples then. And also, we find our commission there as well today. But for our time together, we're going to be in Acts chapter 10. So if you've got a Bible, you can go there. We'll be there shortly. If you don't have a Bible, the text is in your bulletin. Or it's also on the wall, and you can follow along there for your convenience. All right, we'll be in Acts 10 in just a moment. But before we get there, the thought that we're going to work through today is called the Great Commission. Okay, and I want to focus on that little prefix, co. So when you think about co, somebody tell me, what does that mean? All right, it means together, and it means... There's a partnership, all right? It means that we are with one another. And so to be co, there has to be at least how many? At least two. Okay? I can't co myself. So there's got to be somebody else that I am working with. And so this morning we're going to look at trying to understand the mission, trying to understand what the co in the mission looks like. And then ultimately we're going to look at how we can evaluate our own heart and see where we're at in this process. So to help us understand where we're headed today, we're going to use a little illustration. All right, so let's say that you and I are going into business together. All right, yay, right? And we're going to start an ice cream business because there's no ice cream joints around here, right? So this side of the room is going to be our kind of connectors. You guys are the ones who have swag. You've got the charisma. You've got just the ability to connect with people, but you're horrible when it comes to business planning, right? So you're not very organized, you're not very detailed, but you don't meet a stranger and everybody likes to be around you. That's true, right? Seems to fit everybody over here. All right, now we're going to come to this side of the room where I tend to belong. I don't have much swag or charisma. I don't connect very well. But we may be a little more detailed, a little more organized. You may kind of have that business mind where we're going to think strategy and we're going to think philosophy and we're going to think goal and process and how to reach that goal. Okay, but maybe we don't connect as well with people. Well, if you're out trying to start your ice cream business, but you have poor business management skills, is it going to fly? No. It'll be a fly by night. It'll be here one day and gone the next. But this side, if we're very detailed and we've got a good plan, but we just don't know how to connect with people very well, then is our business going to fly and thrive? No, it probably won't, because you got to have customers, right? And when we don't connect well with people, now I'm not saying you don't, all right? I just put me on that side. But what happens when this side comes together and this side comes together, now we've got a formula for something very successful. Doesn't mean it will happen. Businesses flop every day. People who have good skills on both sides, good skill sets. But when these two sides come together, that duo, then we've got the opportunity for something very successful. You know, there's a lot of famous duos, and with our children in here today, I thought maybe they could help me out a little bit. So let's see here. Thinking in the realm of food. Are you listening, children, youth? All right, in the realm of food, there's a sandwich, and it's called a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Everybody answered. That's great. Even the adults played along. All right, so what would a sandwich be without peanut butter? Jelly sandwich. All right. Who wants a jelly sandwich? All right, I like a jelly sandwich too, okay? I'm on the jelly side of life. A lot of people like the peanut butter, so probably more of you could eat just a peanut butter sandwich rather than jelly. So we've got this famous duo of peanut butter and jelly. Sometime within this weekend, today, tomorrow, I imagine most of us in this room are going to eat something on a bun. All right, it may be round like a patty. It may be long like a dog. But there's two things that are essential, or people say are essential, right? And it's that famous duo. On one side, you've got to have ketchup, and on the other side, you have to have mustard. Okay? Now, I tend to be just a mustard guy, all right? I don't help the ketchup industry any. But that's a famous duo. So you've got ketchup and mustard. What about chips and dip? My kind of people, all right? So we've got chips and we've got dips on this side. Sorry. And we've got ketchup, and we've got mustard, and we've got peanut butter, and we've got jelly. So we've got all these famous duos working together, creating something that's, you know, really beautiful. It's really something we'd like to eat. Here's some other famous duos. Help me out still yet. And this is for everybody. On one side of the equation, you've got Batman, and on the other side, you've got Robin. Why does all this side keep getting the good stuff, huh? So we've got Batman and Robin, and for some of us who are a little older, it's coming back, though. We've got the Lone Ranger, and we've got Tonto. It's coming back to the big screen. And you've got Scooby-Doo and Shaggy, too. All right? I don't fit the Shaggy. Scooby-Doo and Shaggy. So we've got all these famous duos, and they've created things in our life that are memorable that have been also very successful. Okay? So you've got this cooperation kind of going on. Cooperation between those several different duos. And so for our time together today, what I want to look at is this duo that has been built to be the most successful duo on the planet. And sometimes I treat it as though, from my perspective, I'm going to fail it and I'm not going to complete it. But I have been equipped, as have you if you're a believer, to make this thing be the most successful thing ever. And so we're talking through this great commission. We're talking about the church. We're talking about making disciples. Man, great power has been invested in this work, and I pray that we'll see that here today. So if you have a Bible, let's go to Acts chapter 10. We're going to find a guy here who had been reinstated. Remember the guy that said to Jesus, "I'll never deny you. Matter of fact, if I have to, I'll die with you." And they said, "Do you know him?" And he said, "No." What was his name? Peter. All right, here we find Peter. After Peter had met the resurrected Jesus Christ, Peter the coward, Peter the one who ran away when Jesus was needing somebody to stand by him. What happened in Peter's life? He saw the resurrected Savior. And now he's filled with the Holy Spirit as the Spirit has come upon him. And he's trying to figure some things out because the world for Peter had changed as he knew it. Very different time. And so he's trying to navigate this process. So in Acts chapter 10, we're going to see him doing this in a house with some people as he's going to end up sharing the gospel here. But let's go to verse 34 and we'll read to verse 43. All right, then Peter opened his mouth. And so here, let's just give a little background. Peter's at Cornelius' house where he'd been invited. And he's going to be there to share the gospel. And so he's trying to understand some things. And we'll break this previous text down in a minute. But so then Peter in this house is going to open his mouth. And he said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. That's important, verse 35. Verse 36, the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, that word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. And here's what he's preaching, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were opposed by the devil, for God was with him. Who was with him? God was with him. He was anointed with what? The Holy Spirit. And what does the Holy Spirit bring? Power. Okay? Jesus, anointed with the Holy Spirit, brought power and was able to do great things. In verse 39. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. But him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. So we've got Jesus being seen by the disciples after the resurrection. Verse 42. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. Okay, is there any doubt in any of that last verse? Whoever believes will receive what? remission of sins or forgiveness through Jesus Christ. And so today I want to look at some things that we've got to understand if we're going to complete our mission. As a Christian, you and I are on mission with God. And it is a co-mission, which means we are a cooperative part. And so we've got the church and we've got the working of God and the Holy Spirit in Jesus. And so today we're going to look at how these two work together as we try to understand our mission and how we can see where we are in this process. So to understand or to accomplish the mission, first of all, we've got to understand what the mission is. And so if you're following along in your bulletin, that would be number one. To accomplish the mission, we must understand the mission. Okay? If I had just said to you right at the start, hey, we're going to go into business together, let's go. What do you want to know? What's the business? I mean, we've got to know our purpose. I don't know what it is. You just give money and I'll give money and we'll show up at a parking lot somewhere and business will happen. Does that sound good? No. You say, man, that sounds like a scam. Right? It sounds like you just want something from me. So we've got to understand mission. That's true for any business, and it's absolutely true for those who are part of the church. So in our text here today, Peter's doing that very thing. Peter is starting to understand some things. It's kind of like we get to see the light flip on in Peter's mind. And we're going to see that as we retrace his steps prior to what we've read here today. So if you'll back up in Acts chapter 10, we won't read all these. We'll try to summarize what was going on. So there's a Roman centurion. His name is Cornelius, okay? And as a centurion, he's a commander of soldiers, maybe 100 soldiers. And it was his job to oversee them, to rule them, make sure they were on task. Cornelius was known to be a very devout man. He was a man who prayed. He was a man, as far as he knew, he loved God, but he had not received Christ. And so at this point, we find him praying. Cornelius is praying, and God sends an angel to him and says to him, Cornelius, listen, we have heard your prayers. God has seen your heart. And he has received these things. And so here's what he's telling you to do. He wants you to send a few guys to this other guy's house. His name is Simon. Simon was a tanner. Send your guys to the tanner's house to find a guy there named Peter. And when they find Peter, you tell Peter to come back with your guys. And that's basically what was going on. Okay? So while that conversation is going on, Peter is up on a rooftop praying. And while he's praying, it's interesting, the Bible says he gets hungry. You ever get hungry when you're praying? I took it as he gets distracted. You know, and that stomach alarm's going off. Now, some of you may face that in a service like this. About 11:45, you're like, oh, was that me? Right? And we get distracted. And so I think that was going on here in Peter, in Peter's life. But Peter's going to have this vision. The Bible says he kind of goes into a trance. And what Peter sees is this sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners. And on this sheet is all sorts of creatures, all sorts of animals, all sorts of birds. And then there's this voice that comes to Peter and says, Peter, get up, kill something, and what? And eat it. And so how does Peter respond? No way. I mean, all this stuff on here is forbidden. I'm a Jew and I can't have this type of food. So there's no way I'm going to eat this. I've never eaten anything unclean or anything unholy. But the voice comes again. Peter, get up, kill, and eat. And it comes a third time, the exact same thing. Peter, get up, kill, and eat. Because what God has cleansed is no longer unholy. And then Peter wakes up from his vision or his trance. Now, Peter's trying to understand what's going on. In verse 17 of Acts 10, it says he was greatly perplexed. Okay? So I'm telling you, this is huge in his world. It's not the same for us because we don't have these kind of dietary restrictions. But for Peter, this was huge. What does this mean? I mean, this Holy Spirit thing has come on us and we've been speaking in different languages. And now I'm sitting here praying, getting hungry and have this vision. And I don't understand it. What does all this mean? So he's trying to navigate this change in this process that God's bringing along. Now, while he's doing that, the guys are knocking at the door. Hello, Mr. Simon, the tanner. We were sent by Cornelius, the Roman centurion, to bring a man from your house back to his house. We're looking for Peter. Is Peter staying here? Why, yes, he is. And so there's this little meet and greet between these few guys and Peter. Peter invites them in to stay the night. They get up the next morning and they head back to Cornelius' house where they're going to have this conversation. And so here's how it begins. Acts chapter 10, verses 28 and 29. Peter says to these people, "Cornelius and his household are all assembled. You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile." Okay? So should Peter have been at Cornelius' house? No, in his mind, he was becoming unclean. All right? So you got this Holy Spirit thing going on. You're telling me to eat anything that I see that I want to eat. Now you want me to visit a Gentile. What's going on here? I don't understand. And so he says to them in confusion, "You know I shouldn't be here, right? I'm not really sure what I'm doing here. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean." Even yet, he's still trying to figure this out. That was the purpose of that sheet. It wasn't just about food. It was about understanding something. In verse 29, "So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. Now, may I ask why you sent for me?" Now, what is Peter beginning to understand? There's one gospel, and who is it for? Everybody. There's one gospel, and it's for everybody. Now, I love what follows, okay? Here's the conversation. Peter's just walked into his house and says, "I don't know why I'm here. I shouldn't be here." All right? Under the Jewish law, this is not right. But I knew God's Spirit prodded me and said, "Go with them." And so I went with them. I'm here. I'm not sure how this is working. Can you tell me why I'm here? It's kind of crazy. I don't know why I'm here. Can you tell me why I'm here? Sounds like a guy's losing his mind. And so Cornelius kind of says the same thing back to him. "I don't know, Peter. The other day I was praying and this guy stood in front of me in shining clothes and he said that God had heard my prayers and he had received my giving to him. And he told me to send for this guy named Peter at Simon the Tanner's house, and so I did. Now you go, Peter." It's like, "I don't know. I don't know why you're here either." And so they're trying to figure this thing out. And while Cornelius is speaking, then the light bulb comes on and Peter now gets it. Right? He was starting to understand, but now he's really getting it. In verse 34 and 35, Acts chapter 10, "Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but he accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right." You know what Peter is finally clearly seeing? He's seeing his part in the co-mission. The co-mission wasn't just for a select group of people. It's one gospel for everyone. And now he's seeing that to be true. And so who does this include? Are our young people welcome? All right. And so are those who are not as young. We're all welcome. What about people who are different color? Are they welcome? Is the mission for them? Right? The Great Commission is for everybody. Isn't that little song that we teach to our children, something like that? Jesus loves all the little children. They are red, yellow, black, and white. They are precious in his sight, right? So Jesus loves all the little children. So it's not about a certain color. By the way, I think most of us would classify ourselves as probably white or something to that effect. But just go stand up against this wall in this room. You know what color you're not? White. Not one of us in this room is a white person, okay? Everybody on the planet is a shade of brown. So you can see why I don't have a white shirt on. Some of you do. You're not white, okay? So we'll just throw that out and you can do what you want with that. That should be just a simple reminder that it's for everybody, right? I'm not what people in the past tried to make me. So Peter's clearly seeing this mission and he's saying that it's for everybody. Doesn't matter your age. Doesn't matter your color. Does it matter if you live on $100 a day or 100 pennies a day? Now it does maybe personally, but it doesn't in God's economy, right? Salvation is not about six figures, whether those six figures add up to $10 or $100,000. It doesn't matter if you live on pennies a day or hundreds of dollars a day. Does it matter if your teeth are present or absent? No. not in the commission. I only say that because we've spent a lot of time with our dentist here recently. It doesn't matter if you have teeth or not. Does it matter if you're clean or dirty? No, so you don't have to clean yourself up before you come to Christ. Does it matter if your way of transportation is a fancy two-wheeler or the two wheels on the bottom of your legs? Doesn't matter, right? Does it matter if you live in the big box house in the neighborhood or the small box behind the dumpster? Not as far as salvation is concerned. Does it matter if you're a doctor or cannot spell doctor? No, not as far as the commission is concerned. Does it matter if you have a long financial portfolio or a long police record? No, it still doesn't matter. Does it matter if people think of you or don't think of you? It doesn't matter, right? On and on we could go with this little scenario. All I'm trying to point out is that there's one gospel and it's for everybody, wherever they are. It's something we need to remind ourselves of. So let me ask you this question. With that in mind, whom do we have the right to withhold the gospel from? The answer is no one. All right? Whom do we willingly choose to withhold the gospel from? Now, you don't have to answer that to me. But are we sharing clearly the gospel? Are we effectively communicating the gospel with people around us? See, somewhere we are willingly withholding as though I have the right not to share. Who's the gospel for? Everyone. And for whatever reason, sometimes we find ourselves maybe unwilling or scared or whatever the reason is, just not sharing. So if it's for all, that's something I need to rehearse in my mind. And that's what Peter was doing here, and I'm sure he had to do it over and over again when he left Cornelius' house. What's going on here, God? Why'd you bring me here? What's happening? I don't understand this shift. And we see later that Peter struggled with it. He was trying to get Gentiles to basically convert to Judaism so they could honor Christ. And Paul had to come in and go, no, Peter, it's not right. Remember, all that stuff is past. Behold, everything's new. This is a new covenant. It's a new time. So the gospel's for everybody. Is the gospel for my enemies? Is the gospel for yours? Okay, so is there somebody in your life that you'd say, I just can't talk to them about Jesus? You don't understand what they've done to me. You don't understand what they've said to me. You don't understand how they've treated my family or my kids. So I'm not going to talk to them. I can't. Who's the gospel for? Everyone, including those people who don't like us, including those people who dress different than us, including those people who rub us the wrong way or annoy us, including these people who seek to drive up and just blow up. Was the cross for a terrorist? Absolutely. And we say, I'd never share Christ with that guy. He doesn't deserve it. Headline, we don't either. We don't either. The gospel is for everybody. So somewhere we've got to get our opinion out of the way and really embrace that there's one gospel for all people. Verse 43 of Acts chapter 10, before we progress, all the prophets, Peter says, all the prophets testify about Jesus, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. So if everybody believes in him, they'll be saved, right? It's available for all people. So when you think of the cross, just remember that. One gospel for all. All right, secondly, so we've got to understand the mission. The mission is that there's one gospel for all. Now we've got to understand our role in the mission. So that's the second point here today. As we try to seek the mission, we've got to understand our role in the mission. So here Peter again is going to lay out clearly this idea of a mission being a co-mission. There's two parts to it. And we see this as he's talking to the household of Cornelius. There's Jesus and what he has done, who he is. And then there's those who believe in him. And these two are to combine to accomplish this mission. And so let's go back to Acts chapter 10, verse 37. So first he's going to talk about Jesus. He says, you know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached. Okay? And so then he's going to go on and talk about what Jesus did. Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit, given power. He performed all kinds of miracles. He cast out demons. He was healing people. He was put to death on a cross, and 3 days later he came back to life. And Peter says, you know this. You know this is true. And so he's just rehearsing for them what it is that Jesus had done. And so initially, let's talk about the Jesus side of the mission. Did Jesus do his part? Yes. John 17:4, Jesus says, Father, I've brought you glory by completing the work that you've sent me to do. Very simple. This is your task, son. Go complete it. Jesus, before he's crucified, looks to his father and says, I've completed it. He did his part of the commission. But what that raises up within me then is, what is my part? What is my role? What am I supposed to be doing? Peter shares that with us in verse 42. So back in Acts 10, so he just talked about Jesus. Jesus completed his role. Now he says, he, Jesus, commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. Every person will come before Jesus Christ as judge, and he will judge them. He will judge us. Now, our judgment as believers is not, do we enter heaven or do we enter hell? Our judgment will be, what have we done while we were here? Have we used well the resources, the time, the abilities, the mind that he has given us? Have we stewarded these things well? So understanding our role is key. So is it my role to share Jesus with other people? Yes. Is it your role? Yes. If you are a Christian, then that's your role. That's responsibility. That's one of the conversations God and I are going to have. Who did you talk with? Not who did you stand in front of and tell. This is important also. But who did you sit down and talk with? Who did you work to help them understand who I was and what I'd done on their behalf? So it's how the mission works. There's got to be two sides. There's plenty of other verses that outline this. One of these is found in the book of Romans. Paul was writing this in chapter 10. And you know this well. He says, this is a backward progression. How can people call on the one they've not believed in? Okay? So if you don't believe in Jesus, you're not going to call out to him to save you, right? This doesn't make sense. I don't believe in Jesus, but please save me from my sins. That doesn't make any sense. And that's what Paul's saying. And how can somebody believe in this one of whom they have not heard? So how can you believe in somebody you've never heard about? You won't. All right? And how can somebody hear without somebody preaching to them? And how can anybody preach unless they are sent? Remember when Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, now what am I doing? Now I'm sending you. Father said to Son, Jesus, this is your mission. Go. And Jesus went and said, Father, I've completed the work you've sent me to do. In that similar prayer, Jesus said, now listen, as the Father sent me to do my work, now I'm sending you, I'm commissioning you to go do your work. What's your work? You just tell people about me. That's it. And you can tell that in all sorts of venues. You can tell that in all sorts of methods or ways. But your role, my role, our role is to tell them about Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 outlines this also. Verse 18 to 20. All this is from God. This idea of being made right, having peace with God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And so he's reconciled us to God, and now he says, now you be a reconciler for me as well. So a reconciler, you know how they work? Let's say these two people are sitting here for a reason. I don't like you, I don't like you. Well, that's not true. But let's say that's going on. A reconciler comes in and says, hey, listen, let's work this out. Let's talk this through. Let's make this right. And so when that person comes in and intervenes and these two are restored, now there's peace again, right? Where there was once an enemy. So when I sin, it's like I become an enemy of God. And I need somebody to come to the in-between and reconcile these two things. And so Jesus, the reconciler, steps in and says to God, listen, they didn't know what they were doing and they're asking for forgiveness of their sins. And God says, I'll forgive them. Boom. Reconciled. Restored. Now then, he says, as you've been reconciled, You work to help other people be reconciled with God. That's life. That's why we're here. See, God's not counting people's sins against them, and He's committed to us the message of reconciliation. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. It says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. And so we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." So what I've got to understand today is that it's my role to share Christ with others. And again, that happens in many different ways. But it's definitely something each one of us in this room will answer to God for. Who am I sharing Christ with? So I've got to understand the mission. I've got to understand my role. But then the next step then is I've got to fulfill my role. I've got to fulfill my role. Was it enough for Jesus just to understand that God was sending him down here? Could that have been enough? Oh, yeah, I think that's a good plan, God. I like the plan. What if Jesus would have never came? Would there be forgiveness? No. So just because we understand something doesn't mean it's done. We've got to understand, but now it's time to work. And so here's where everything really consists. This is where everything comes together. To understand is great, but it's not enough. I heard a man say here recently, a lot of us are pretty strong in our spiritual IQ. We just struggle with the spiritual I do. So I don't know that I've said anything to us today that's new. Did you know there's one gospel for all people? Did you know that you have a role in that gospel to share Christ with people? So a lot of things we know, spiritual IQ, sometimes we struggle with the spiritual I do. What I love about Peter is that he didn't understand entirely initially. And yet he still went, right? He showed up at Cornelius' house saying, "Why am I here?" He didn't understand it. And yet the prodding of the Spirit was on him. And so he said, "I didn't hesitate when you asked. And I have come. Now, why have you asked me to come?" So we've been put here just as Peter has had, to be a witness to those who are seeking. That's what we've been commissioned to do. You know what it means to be commissioned? Commissioned comes from somebody who has greater authority than us. And so someone with greater authority gives to us a certain task or responsibility to carry out. So who are some people in our lives who have authority over us? If you're a child in this room, you have people in your life who have authority over you, and they are your parents. Okay, and for some of our husbands, I guess you're going to say your wife is in authority over you, huh? Oh, no, 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 let's not go there. And so we have that type of authority. What about if we get out here on Horseshoe Lake Road and we just drag race? I mean, I'm sure my truck can get to 60 from here to the stoplight. That's not saying a whole lot, okay? Some of you are like, "Wow, that means nothing," right? And so we're going to drag race, and somebody turns their lights on and pulls us over and has a conversation. They try to write us a ticket. Can I say, "You can't write me a ticket. It's my car. It's free country. Drive how I want to drive." Yeah, that will probably get me a little ride, right? "Hey, let's go to the back seat. I got somewhere to take you." So that's how that would work, because they have authority to do that. They have authority over me. Lots of authorities. We've got government who sits in authority, and we've got laws who sit in authority, and we've got kings and queens and rulers all over this world who sit in authority. When Jesus assembled his team after he was resurrected, he pulled his guys together on that mountain, and he said, "Listen, guys, look at me." What does he say? "All authority is where? It's mine. It's all been given to me. Now go make disciples." So when the one with all authority says, "Here's your task," I think it's pretty clear that this is what we should be doing. True? Everything within my life should be working to fulfill that role. So I have been commissioned by Jesus, the one who has all authority, to go live like Jesus. So love others the way that he did. Give them freely the things that I have freely given to you. Don't be stingy. Don't hoard. Manage it well. Be a reflection of what I've done in your life. That's our responsibility. That's our mission. Go and make disciples. So as we go, we just need to work, and we've got to look. And this is how it works too. Many of you are working. When you show up at work, when I show up in places of work, it's important for us to see that as a role in the mission. Okay, so partnering with Jesus in the Great Commission isn't after you get your 40 hours in and when you have free time. Now it's Jesus time. Is that true? No, I just said that's not true. Part of fulfilling the Great Commission happens at your 9 to 5. As you love people, pray with people, serve people, give to people, as you talk with people about Christ. That's part of my job. That's part of the reason we work. See, everything submits to that purpose. Everything. And so when I work and I make some money, is it, man, I get to go blow this however I want to? No, how should it be? It's supposed to be, you've put this in my hands, now how do I use this to accomplish your mission? See, everything is subservient to the purpose that you and I have been put here. That's how it's supposed to work. That's how I fulfill my role. So everything in my life is to be mindful of, considerate of, submitted to the mission. Now here's the beauty of this whole thing as we begin to wind this down. The beauty of this mission is that it's still a co-mission, which means what? There's still two parts involved in this. Jesus lived, died, resurrected. All those words end in ED, which means that is past tense. Okay? Is Jesus done? He's ascended, also past tense. And now is he just waiting for us to do our part? No. See, it's still a co-mission. You remember how the co-mission ends? Now go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I've commanded you. And then it ends in verse 20b, it says, and lo, I am with you always to the end of the age, to the end of the world. Okay? What he's saying is, this is what I am involved in. This is my work. This is life. And whenever you're fulfilling your role, you need to understand that I am right there with you. See, I've not been birthed for God to have somebody to bless my ideas. God, I've got this business plan. Here's something I want to do. I'm going to create a heated toilet seat. And I think you need to bless that because it can make a lot of money that I could give to the church to help support missionaries around the world. Now, that could happen. But have I been created for God to bless my business plan? No, I've been created to be a partner, to cooperate in this co-mission. So I submit to his mission. I submit to my role in the mission. And he says, listen, within that, I am with you. I'm with you. One thing you've got to understand about this. As Peter's talking about Jesus, he says, Jesus has been anointed by whom? By God, through the Holy Spirit, with power. Jesus received power. Remember when Paul was talking to his little friend Tim? He says, Tim, don't be a coward. Because God's not giving you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power. See, how often do we approach our opportunities to witness as powerless? Oh man, I don't know that I can really share this, and I'm going to share it wrong and mess it up, and this person's going to believe in Satan as their Savior, and they're going to end up in hell. I'm so nervous. Our part's just to share, understanding that we've got all power on our side to accomplish the mission. And that's why Jesus says with confidence, and the gates of hell do not prevail against what? The church. The church wins. It has, it will, because Jesus is working in it. His power is resting there. So the next time you find yourself in an opportunity to talk with somebody, I want you to think for a minute about the power that's sitting right there beside you. You won't see him, but he's just as present in that moment as you are. You remember when Jesus was with his disciples on a boat and the waves were rolling and they were scared out of their mind as we all would be? And Jesus said, would you just be still? And the waves went, whew. What would you call that? That's power. All of us have people in our lives who've passed away. As we remember specifically those who've given their lives here this weekend. Sisters in the Bible, good friends of Jesus. Jesus, why weren't you here? Our brother died, one of your best friends. He's been buried for a few days. And Jesus says, he's not dead. He's going to resurrect. No, you don't understand. He is dead. And Jesus walks to the mouth of that tomb, and what's he say? Get up, Lazarus. Come on out here. What happens? He does. What do you call that? Power. Jesus says, my power is on you as my witnesses. So I'm not sending you in your power. I'm not sending you on your best day. I'm not sending you in your knowledge. Sometimes we think, I got to know more Bible before I can talk to people about Jesus. No, you don't. I got to get my life all cleaned up before I can talk to anybody else about how Jesus can clean. No, you don't. It's not your power, it's His. It's just mine to share. That's it. That's my role. And trust and believe and have complete confidence that He's the God who He said He is. And if He wants to bring life out of death, He can do it. If He wants to bring to life that person that doesn't believe, He can do it. And so I trust that into His care. It's not my role to make those things happen. So there is a mission, and I've got a part to play. The question is, am I fulfilling my role? And so what I want you to think about here as we close is, are you fulfilling your role and your mission? It looks different for everybody, by the way. Right? It's not my job to play Holy Spirit for you to tell you to wake up at 6:30 and you need to go talk to this person and this is what you say. And then when you're done there, then you go work and then you eat lunch and then you're going to have... It's not... I don't play that role, right? That's His, not mine. And you don't play that for me. So everything we do is different. But the foundation is similar. Everything that I'm doing is to submit to making disciples. That's my role, sharing the message. So when you look at your life, would you say, man, I feel like I'm doing my part in the mission, or I don't? Here's how this works. If you're not connected with Jesus Christ, which is a simple way of saying you're not saved, then there's no possible way that you're on mission with Jesus. And possibly you'll view what we've talked through today as something that's just for people who are maybe more committed or dedicated or who may have more faith or whatever, and not see it that it's for everybody. It all starts with Jesus. So have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you recognized that you're a sinner in desperate need of His salvation? I mean, He's promised to bring it. What we read was, I'm sending people to tell, and those people are going to tell so people can hear. And some of those who hear are going to believe, and those who believe are going to call, and whoever calls will be saved. Have you called out and invited Jesus to save you from your sins? His promise is He will. Maybe you sit here today and say, yeah, I'm part of the family. I have asked Jesus to save me. If so, here's what I want you to think about before we pray. What in your life in the last week proves that you are fulfilling your role? Think back over the last 7 days. What have we done that prove to us that we are on mission with God? If everything in my life consists in fulfilling that role, then I shouldn't be able to go 7 days without doing something that proves that I'm on board. Listen, it's not my role or goal here today to guilt you. We work together to equip one another, to strengthen one another, to pray together, to encourage. I just want to challenge you, examine your heart and do your part.